start up your Friday, start up your weekend right here on B&E. Appreciate you doing it each and every morning. Certainly this morning, 9 of April, with a lot going on. First round in the books at Augusta National. The second round about to begin right here at 7 o'clock Central. They're about to get this thing rolling with Justin Rose sitting atop the leaderboard after his sizzling round yesterday. And speaking of sizzling, Buck, warmest day of the year on tap today. Temperatures in the 90s as the early clouds will burn off, and it's going to be a warm one today. And as you said, get to hydrating yourself if you're going to be outside this weekend for sure. How are we looking? Into the weekend? Pretty good. Yeah, beautiful. Cool off a little bit on Saturday. Temperatures in the low 80s, 90s on Sunday. Perfect for whatever you're doing. And then watching a lot of golf and
yeah. And then we're back. Baseball. We're back to getting into the 80s next week. We're back. We're out of that 90 stuff and back mid 80s and. You know, there's a day in there somewhere that's, you know, 70, close to 60-some degrees. So
nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Nice. Okay, so we'll get to all those stories and remind you that you can now watch our program and all the programs here on the Horn on our Twitch channel at hornfm.com if you'd like to see how things look behind the scenes. I'm watching golf. What are you watching, Buck?
Is that
Valerie Bertinelli?
Yes, it is, Valerie.
That's on the Hallmark channel?
That's Touched by an Angel, yes.
That's Eddie Van Halen's wife.
That it is.
The late, great Eddie Van Halen.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still married, but...
Well, no, he's deceased.
Yeah, he's deceased, but I'm saying...
No, they were divorced.
Yeah, they got divorced. But he still traveled with their son, Wolfie.
Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was hanging out with them.
Yes. All right, so Hallmark Channel there. We got golf over here. And Justin Rose, your leader. Let's pay off your B&E fact of the day. Could you hazard a guess who is the current wealthiest of the wealthy NFL owners? 32 of them.
They're all wealthy.
They're
not just rich. They're all wealthy.
They're all.
Arthur Blanks, I always thought was the wealthiest one, even more so than Robert Kraft. But the guy in L.A. who's built that kingdom out there.
Stan Kroenke?
Maybe.
Is third. Third wealthiest of the wealthy dudes.
Then I'll go back to Arthur Blank.
Nope. By the way, Stan Kroenke is of the, he's an heir of the Walmart family.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Is he now?
I believe that that's accurate.
Get my job ready, that greeting
now,
job.
Arthur Blank is Home Depot, right? Didn't he start Home Depot?
Yeah, he's doing okay.
So Stan Kroenke third. He was number one. Stan Kroenke was the one number one. He pandemic hadn't been great to him. He's only worth like $8.9 billion now.
Well, the pandemic is great for Arthur Blank.
Only like
Home Depot.
He suffered during the pandemic. $8.9 billion, plus he built that fancy new stadium and all that came with that.
Billions and billions.
Thank you. Two on the list. Wealthiest NFL owners. Yes, sir.
Not Jerry.
Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, according to Forbes.
Keep selling those pizzas in parking spaces.
Yes, but the leader now, the wealthiest NFL owner, Carolina Panthers owner, Dave Tepper. Dave Tepper, $14.5 billion. He has seen a 21% increase in his value and worth since the pandemic began. His hedge fund has had a good
run. Just
good
doing
run.
Well, huh?
Doing Knocking very well the during the pandemic. So there you go. The next among the NFL's richest owners after Stan Kroenke at three. Oh, by the way, Kroenke now $8.2
billion.
Oh. I can credit him a little bit more. Jacksonville's Shad Khan, Miami's Stephen Ross, New England's Robert Kraft, Atlanta's Arthur Blank.
God, those guys got some cash.
I think the most cash poor or the least wealthy owner, I'm pretty certain, is Mark Davis out with the Oakland Raiders or now the Vegas Raiders. Because Al Davis, that's the family business.
Yes.
The Oakland Raiders. And then they moved to Vegas. Now they're doing better, but not as deep a pockets as some.
No.
I think it's fair to say. But there we go. That's
I always liked Arthur Blank. I thought he was the coolest of the owners.
The coolest?
Yeah.
Okay.
With that little mustachio that he has.
He kind of looks like an author of some kind or
he
professor
does.
Of
like
some kind.
He needs
kind.
A pipe on the sideline. Just put a long pipe in his mouth. Just hang out there.
Still smarting from that 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl that they couldn't finish.
But you know what he did? He kept with his coach for two more years or three more years, which I could not believe. He made those decisions. He liked that dude, so he stayed with him. Now he's with your Dallas Cowboys, working your defense.
You know the wealthiest owner in the world is of any professional sports team?
Something in soccer, probably.
No. Mukesh Ambani, who is the owner of the Mumbai Indians.
Oh.
Mumbai. Who? Yeah. Mukesh Ambani.
Is that, worth 84. That's not soccer, right? That is Cricket?
I believe that's cricket.
Cricket?
$84.5 billion.
Well, they don't need much of a uniform, right? Just that flat stick and some balls and a mask.
By the way,
they play with their hands, right? You don't have a glove.
I got to tell you, these NBA owners, Steve Ballmer is number two on the list worldwide, the owner of the LA Clippers. He was part of the Microsoft fortune. He's $68.7 billion. And Cleveland Cavaliers owner Daniel Gilbert. Remember how mad he got when LeBron left him? Took off.
Left him with $51 bill.
He's almost $52 billion in worth.
So. He's mad. How long do you stay mad if you're like that? Not long.
You're used to getting your way, you know?
Oh, so. Yeah.
So Mumbesh Ambani, number one. By the way, these NBA owners like just lapping the NFL. I don't know what's going on there. These guys are worth some cash. Okay, so let's get to your headlines, your trending topics. There's your fact of the day. What's going on in your sports world? UBO Business Services brings it to you, and yes, we'll start with the golf, and it was Justin Rose sizzling yesterday. How about Justin Rose, the 40-year-old Englishman? He was two over through his first seven holes yesterday. Had five pars, a couple of bogeys, kind of plodding along, and then caught absolute fire. Roared through the turn and down the back line nine, and finished at seven under par, nine under par in his last 11 holes. He has your clubhouse lead after one round of the Masters. He's four strokes better than Hideki Matsuyama and Brian Harman, four others, including 2018 Masters champion Patrick Reed at two under par. Only five other players finished in red figures yesterday, led by Jordan Spieth, who finished at one under despite a triple bogey on the ninth hole. Winds were up, firm greens. Augusta National was a huge challenge for the best players in the world. How about some of the big numbers? Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Bubba Watson all shot two over. Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, four over 76s. Matt Kuchar, six over par yesterday. They'll tee off this morning in round two. To Texas basketball news, Longhorns landed their first commitment, verbal commitment, for new head coach Chris Beard. Plano, John Paul High School four-star small forward Jalen Tyson committed to the Longhorns last night. That came after Tyson requested a release from his national letter of intent from Texas Tech. 6'6 wing serves as the first commitment, as we said, of Chris Beard's recruiting class since becoming coach at Texas. NBA last night, busy night, including how about the Dallas Mavericks? They rebound from their loss to lowly Houston on Wednesday night by taking down the Milwaukee Bucks last night in Big D. Luka Doncic had 27 points. Kristaps Porzingis, big night, 26 points and 17 rebounds in the victory. Also last night, LA Clippers took down the West-leading Phoenix Suns, 113-103. That snapped the Suns' seven-game win streak. Major League Baseball. Rangers took the night off. Astros were a winner in their home opener at Minute Maid Park. They beat Oakland 6-2. Carlos Correa, Yordan Alvarez, and Jose Altuve all hit home runs to back the young right-hander Christian Javier, who went five strong innings. The bullpen made it stick. They win it 6-2.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, throughout the golf tournament yesterday, there was this cat, Brian Harman, lefty.
Yeah, smooth.
He is really smooth. He's got it. I love his putting stroke. But when he hits the ball off the tee, he's like 15, 20, 30 yards behind the dude. He just doesn't hit it very long. But he plays his irons, and his short game is just unbelievable to watch. And he putts. He's right there. He's a two-putting genius. You know what I'm saying? He knows in order to be even a professional golfer, he has to two-putt just about everything. You very seldom see this guy three putt, and that's a hard course because guys were three jacking it yesterday around the cup, down the hill. You know, they were coming up short a lot because they were afraid to get it to the hole yesterday. Yeah. So they just had just as long a putt on that next putt.
You always hear the Masters champions talk about the avoiding three putts on those tough greens if you can. I mean, it's huge, and you know that's what you wonder about Jordan Spieth. I mean, of the six pre-tournament odds favorites to win this thing, only Jordan put himself in red numbers yesterday, but he did that with a triple. The question is, you know, we get to Sunday and we're sitting there watching this thing. Did that triple bogey on nine yesterday just be something he can't overcome?
And maybe.
Those are three big strokes that are, they'll just potentially haunt him. Sergio Garcia was plus four yesterday, Buck. One of my picks. I mean, it was a challenge. The greens were firm, the winds were up. And
My guy Cooch had to watch Rosie Cooch just go crazy. He was in that group and was not a factor.
Before we dive into our coach's corner, I'm going to read a quote from the new Texas basketball coach that I think Longhorn fans are going to be excited about. But, you know, we talk about OnlyFans, Buck. Remember earlier in the week we had the Cash Me Outside, How About That Girl, who reports were, she said, made $1 million in the first 6 hours on OnlyFans. And this is your ability to start your own, have your own website where you put up pictures and videos and things, and people subscribe to see you.
Right.
Whatever you're doing. Well, we have another someone who's cashing in. Speaking of wealthy people, remember Holly Saunders?
I do.
She used to do golf coverage for Golf Channel and then Fox. And then she did some Fox football. Very attractive lady. One time, a girlfriend of Cliff Kingsbury. Remember this?
That's right.
She dated Cliff. Well, she started an OnlyFans account. And she, I believe she quit her TV job. But she is now reporting that she is making 20 times the amount of money on her OnlyFans account in its first month than she did on her TV gig.
Just talking with her, looking at her.
Oh, yeah.
Being subscribed to her.
Like, it's like a book club. Like, she gets on there and reads chapters of books. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
She takes her clothes off, essentially, I think. I haven't seen it.
I don't know what these things are. I don't know if these women actually take all their clothes off. They do their bathing suit deals, and that's plenty for a guy, I would think.
I do know this. Holly Saunders did an interview with the Midday Show, with Chad and Trey, and she was on there, and she was pretty racy. She's doesn't back down from that. This is the direction she's going, and she's not ashamed of it at any level. So, and she's making.
Yeah, I mean, provocative stuff would open, chest plates and all that other stuff. And I'm just talking about dead up naked. I mean, butt naked. You know what I'm saying? I mean, down to the raw butt naked.
I'm guessing she's not leaving much to the imagination.
But she's not going. Some of these ladies that were in sports, they're not just going, here you go, guys. I'm butt naked.
How they get you, though. That's how they get you.
What, the
you
provocative have no look
idea.
Right there?
Oh, you yeah. have no idea
really?
What kind of pictures are going to be in their OnlyFans until you subscribe.
Once again, ladies, subscribe to OnlyBuck. At 104.9. That's right. And you can see me at Twitch doing my exercises. You don't know what I'm going to be wearing tomorrow. You just don't know. So where do they send their cash to, E? Right to the station here? Or to my special address. I can't get my home address.
You're going to have to set up a Venmo or PayPal or something for your own special account.
Another account I got to do?
Yeah.
Another Momo?
Another account that you'll forget the password for. Because it says right here, a survey that says that the average American forgets 10 passwords a week. I think that's probably true.
No, mine is the same for everything. I got a new one now.
No, this says, oh no, Bucky, Holly goes all the way. See? Well, look, I mean, today would have been the birthday of one Hugh Hefner. Did you know that? Today would have been Hugh Hefner's birthday, but he passed away. He used to take these beautiful ladies, put them in a magazine, and sell it. Now these people can just sell themselves. It's their own. Be your own boss. That's what Holly Saunders told.
I still don't get that. You can't get that. You can't have that.
What do you mean? Why?
For guys that would pay money to see Holly Saunders naked.
She said, I spent 10 years, ages 21 to 31, on national television.
Yes.
It was a great experience, but at some point you kind of want to work for yourself. And the way the world changed, especially with COVID, everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. But the goal is always to work for yourself. I'm very proud to have succeeded and worked hard to make that career, but it is nice to be my own boss. So, yeah, the money goes straight to her. Bang. Way downtown.
She's naked. Holly is naked.
Well, because once you go there, I would argue she probably won't be able to go back to TV. Because now she's...
Well, of course, no.
She's taking on that
Well, then again, direction. Where TV is, she'll probably be welcome back.
Oh, sure.
Hurry up and get back here as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, look, if Danielle, whatever her name is, the Cash Me Outside girl, can make $1 million in 6 hours, you only have to wonder what Holly Saunders is making.
Say, we can do this with my workout video.
She says 20
video.
Times more than she was making it. Well, like she was getting paid chump change to do TV. She's making 20 times more. On her OnlyFans account.
What was my thing going to be? Old peeps or something.com or something?
I think it should be oldbuck.com.
Old Buck. That's great.
Oldbuck.com.
See what you get there.
I think because I've never been on OnlyFans, but you're going to have a handle. You got to have like a.
D's? No, that's already taken up.
D's.
They're gone. That's all gone. D's have been gone a long time.
D's. All right. It's Coach's Corner time, brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and the great people there getting you that perfect movie watching room, audio, video, visual, anything. Boy, in the perfect big 75-incher buck to watch the Masters. I know you were laying up watching it yesterday. Looking good.
And just to listen to the board. By the way, the ball head dude is on ESPN who does
Scott Van Pelt.
He does a good job.
He's great.
He really does a great job at the Masters, but... Nobody's voice is like Jim Nance. I mean, that's time to go to...
Hello, friends.
Hello, Jim. Good night, Jim. I'd love to have that on my little sound machine beside my bed. Well, then Jim Nance talking.
In a three-day span, he goes from that tremendous call of Jalen Suggs, game winner on Saturday night,
yeah,
and the national championship win, to then, hello, friends.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim, I'm going to go take a little
nap.
That
looks
here.
Good on that big 75-inch television.
It does.
If you were the coach for Jordan Spieth after a one-under round and six back, what are you telling him right now?
I would let Rosie come back to the pack a little bit and just play your game. You know, there's no hero, there's no reason to be hero ball. There was no reason for him to take a seven at the par four. I mean, that seven was lousy. I mean, he could have chipped out.
Is that when he hit the tree square, tried to punch out?
You could see that. That was going to be a hard shot.
Yeah, he was trying to punch it through a chute and get it back to the fairway.
But there was a monster pine tree right there.
He hit that tree square.
Yes, he did.
I mean, somebody said,
I love it when they were trying to explain, well, he's going to hood this club just a little bit. He won't, you know, that tree, just the way he opens it up. And that was Nick Faldo explaining it. That dude hit that tree dead up.
I think,
and he's lucky.
Yeah, he's very lucky. But he's lucky. He's still in red numbers. I mean, to make a triple and still be one under is huge. And you're right. If Justin Rose doesn't have a good day today, and as we saw yesterday, that course can bite you quick, and all of a sudden you're, you know, you can post a, you can go from seven under to four under real quick, and
right.
And then all of a sudden he's right there within striking distance of all of these guys. And if not for the triple, Jordan would be sitting at four under.
And don't you believe that anybody that's even plus four right now can still be in this thing on Sunday?
I think so. We'll see how difficult the conditions are today. And remember, there's a chance for some severe weather on Saturday. So this thing could soften up into the weekend with some rains. There could be some delays, too. So.
I don't even know if they've ever canceled a day of the Masters and went on and played Sunday and said, that's over. I don't know how that works.
I don't think they've done that. I don't recall. I know they've had weather delays before where they have to play into Sunday and finish, you know, Saturday's rounds on Sunday morning.
I don't remember a Monday at the Masters.
Remember, when was it when they started early, right? Remember, they were afraid of a storm late in the day, weather that was coming, so they teed off early.
And, oh, they did that here.
Yeah, we've seen that before, where they instead of teeing off, the leaders go off at 1 or 2 o'clock and finish at 6. The leaders go off at 10,
right,
and they're done by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We've seen that before at the Masters. But they'll play into the weekend with Justin Rose atop the leaderboard. Here's the Chris Beard quote I wanted to read you. Now, this is interesting. Chris Chip Brown, our friend Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7, has a story out this morning about the alignment at the top leadership positions at the University of Texas, something we've talked about quite a lot. And it's a pretty extensive story that Chip has written about how Jay Hartzell, the president, Kevin L. Tyfe, the chairman of the Board of Regents for the Texas system, and Chris Del Conte are in complete alignment and have made huge investments in the last 4 months into Texas athletics. And, you know, it's something we've talked about a lot, but Chip puts it in a pretty good scope, talking about what they've done and how they've, seized this opportunity. And Chip points out something that that both Jay Hartzell and Kevin L. Tyfe are from the McCombs School of Business. Remember, Jay Hartzell used to be the head of the,
yes,
McCombs School of Business. Both are business guys, and both are seeing this as an opportunity to invest in the athletic department big dollars in order to reap the return in athletics. And it's something that university has not done from its leadership really since it was DeLoss Dodds and Bill Powers, you know, understanding that if you invest in it, build it and they will come, right? Invest, mm-hmm, in your coaches. When you know, DeLoss Dodds began the Longhorn Foundation in the 80s, which led to, you know, the money that poured in that allowed them in the late 90s to go after Augie Garrido and go after Rick Barnes and go after Mack Brown to bring in and assemble that triple threat of coaches. And we know what happened in the early 2000s. The winning began, the money poured in, the Longhorn Network was born, and, you know, I think Jay Hartzell, Kevin L. Tyfe, and Chris Del Conte are trying to replicate that with these moves that they're doing. Here's a quote from Chris Beard in this article that Chip Brown has written. It says, "It was obvious from my first conversation with Chris Del Conte that everyone on the University of Texas leadership team was on the same page. From CDC to President Hartzell to Chairman L. Tyfe, they are all in sync and working to achieve excellence in every area of the university. There is no question that unified mindset and shared vision of championship level program was a huge reason and key to my decision." So that's good news, right? That's music to Longhorn fans' ears, because that, to me, that's been the missing ingredient. When people ask what has been wrong with Texas in the last decade, I think that right there was a big part of it. The lack of a unified vision at the top, with the changeover in presidents, which leads to, you know, the different athletic directors, which have led to all the coaching changes for the first time really since, you know, 2010-11, there is a unified front at the top. Does that mean it all is guaranteed to work? We'll see.
No, it means there's going to be big expectations and should be. when you're putting that kind of money into it and you're making that kind of commitment, you think you have the right coaches in the right places, but expectations are always high here for some odd reason, but they're always high. No matter if you not have a really good coach, no matter if your players aren't coached well, the expectations sometimes are very high. They're going to be even higher here now, and they should be.
Right.
And I believe, I mean, and especially in basketball. I think it's still going to take a little bit of time because football is still dominated by Oklahoma. Get that? Do you get that?
Well, think about it. In the last calendar year, the unified front of championship excellence and raising the bar in every sport. It began last year when Vic Schaefer was hired away from Mississippi State, and it took a almost $14 million guaranteed contract on 7 years to lure Vic Schaefer
right
to Texas. Well, that was a year ago. He led them to the Elite Eight this year. You're seeing great strides in that program. Then fast forward to early January, the move on to buy out Tom Herman's contract and that coaching staff. I mean, that was a pretty big investment during a pandemic, obviously, and bring in Steve Sarkisian and a whole new coaching staff. And now the Chris Beard move, $35 million on a 7-year deal for Chris Beard. And add to that the coaches they're bringing in. It's not cheap to get Rodney Terry and Chris Ogden and Jarrence Howard from Kansas to leave good jobs to come and be an assistant coach, but they've invested in it. And so it's going to be a highly paid coaching staff, you know that, under Chris Beard. So the investment being made to raise the bar, and we'll see if success follows. It better, because they're spending a lot of money to do this. Meanwhile, Chris Del Conte at the athletic department level is overseeing an unbelievable transformation of facilities. The $200 million renovation of the South End Zone is coming online. The Moody Center, $388 million for the new basketball arena, comes online next year.
Which they got for free, just about.
Yes, which is being built for them, which will be pretty sweet for Texas. But yeah, I mean, the business guys, Hartzell and Elteif, working with Chris Del Conte to invest in Longhorn Athletics.
Well, and you should expect good things. But I just don't know. I think they'll happen. I truly believe they'll happen quicker in basketball than they will football, because it only takes a couple of those great ones.
Yeah.
With a good coach like this to flip it over, and now you're right there. I mean, you're right in competition. Hell, Shaka Smart won the Big 12 tournament. Hey, and the National Invitational Tournament. Let us not forget that.
And the Maui Invitational in North Carolina.
Let us sing the praises. Amen.
Sing the praises.
Sing the praises. Okay, we have a nitty. And a tournament champion.
You and I have been here long enough to realize when it is United and the right coaches are in place, this can be a powerful place. And when it's not United and the wrong coaches are in place, it can go the other way. I mean, over 20 years, we've seen both ends of it. And I know you're big into watching YouTube tidal wave videos these days.
No, and those tsunamis. Those are something really very special that I don't want to be near.
I think at Texas, if you get the right people in the right places and everyone's united towards the common goal, there can be a tsunami effect to that. We saw it with Mac and Rick and Augie, with DeLoss Dodds. A lot of winning can come when everything is united. And right now it appears it's on its way to that, but we'll see if similar success.
My question
will
about the tsunamis is, why don't the people that video, how come they get away with everything? Why do they get to be up on the rooftops? I mean, I'm seeing people just falling off of hotels. Now, I've not seen a clip where a gal all of a sudden goes blank because the water just engulfs them, but I need to know who those people are. I want to talk to somebody to film the tsunami. Can we get that done here?
If you have filmed a tsunami, give us a phone call, 512-447-3776. Important question, Zay. Isaiah Collier on our Twitch channel. Somebody wants to know why you're wearing a neck brace.
Okay, people, so if you watch me this whole time, you see that I have to look up. We have a computer that is pretty high, and my neck gets pretty fatigued throughout the day. And if you do this show 20 hours a week, then your neck could get quite stiff.
Well, join me at 5:30 in the morning here for my daily workout and my daily routine with the rubber bands, and we can get that neck healed up for you. We can straighten it up and strengthen it.
All right, I'm with it.
Okay.
We'll see what we could do.
So that's the answer. Because when you are watching on Twitch at hornfm.com and you do have questions, we will certainly try to answer them. We appreciate you checking that out and being a part of the Twitch stream, along with the Horn stream at the Horn app. And so ask your questions there. We'll take your thoughts. We'll get Zay's thoughts about the first commitment for Chris Beard, as far as a high school player, four-star player from Plano. We'll get some details on that. Also, more on the Masters, round one into round two. Got our hot or not topics for the end of the hour. It's a fun Friday here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
A lot of comments on our Specs text line on Isaiah Collier, our producer's neck roll. Says, is that Bucky's neck roll?
Right.
Is that Bucky's neck roll from his Boston College days?
Oh, boy.
By the way, that's not a neck roll. That's one of those, isn't that one of those?
It's when you're on an airplane.
You get when you fly, right? So you can rest your head and sleep.
That's
correct?
For the little babies that take that with them and the ones that take their own little pillow.
Did you order that on Amazon, Zay?
Oh, yeah.
Because normally if you try to buy that at the airport, it costs you like $50. If you draw it on Amazon, you get it for like $12.
You know what that looks like? It makes you soft.
Oh!
You're very soft with that neck roll on.
Yeah, this guy says E is having an unsafe work environment, or Zay's just a cupcake. Dang.
You're just soft.
Hey, you know it's not a cupcake? If you are a Texas Rangers fan.
Okay. Not many of you.
And you are able and would like to go to the Texas Rangers game tonight. Tonight we have a pair of tickets that I was supposed to give away yesterday and I forgot. Zay didn't remind me. We didn't get that done late in the show
yesterday. It's your fault, Zay.
Totally my fault. And
I love that Zay didn't remind me. Bucky didn't remind
totally
me.
Totally my fault.
Yeah.
Actually about 8:05 next hour, we're going to give these tickets away. So be listening. But we'll have a little Ranger trivia question, a little baseball, get you thinking about it. But we want to give them to someone who wants them and can go tonight. Like if you already have plans tonight, don't bother. But because you have to be able to get up here, we'll get them to you. We'll email you the tickets.
Then you
got to
drive up to Dallas area? Arlington,
right past the track you love so much.
Who's playing? Who are they playing?
The Rangers and the Padres.
Oh, that's
actually a pretty good ball game.
It's worth the trip.
Rangers, Padres, the Friars are in town. You won't get to see Fernando Tatis Jr.
Oh, because he's still on the IR forever. Glad you got that $300 million though in your pocket.
Yeah, $340 million.
Oh, could have waited that out a little longer.
Total contract. But if you want to be a part of that, we'll get you details. And again, Ranger fans, can you go to the game tonight? We'll get you some tickets. So that'll be fun. We're also talking plenty of golf. And wait, the break, we're talking about Chris Beard, talking about the one of the reasons he took the Texas job, and outside of being an alumnus, but was really blown away by the alignment at the top of Texas athletics right now and the Texas University with President Hartzell, Kevin Elteife, and CDC, and he did say that was their shared vision was a big part of his decision to leave a good job at Texas Tech and break the hearts of the Red Raider fans. What do we know, Zay, about this first commitment for Texas? Plano, John Paul High School. Never heard of this until this young guy, but Jalen Tyson is his name. He's a swingman, 6'6". Good things?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that we talked about throughout this whole March Madness tournament was, you know, guys and wings who are around 6'6", 6'7", that could put the ball on the deck, make plays for others, because that's where the game's going. That's where you see NBA players thriving, and that's where you see, you know, guys making the most money. If you're a wing and you could put the ball on the deck, obviously Cade Cunningham's going number one. He's kind of the it guy right now, you know, the hot, you know, topic. So this guy coming in, he could kind of do some of those things. You know, he's a solid shooter, has a really pretty jump shot, and he's just another big wing. And obviously we know with Chris Beard's track record of developing players, you know, even though he's a four-star guy, he could, you know, be a stud when it's all said and done.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right, so there you go. Jalen Tyson, he was already committed over to Texas Tech. And so he was going to go play for Chris Beard in Lubbock. And
just bring the rest of those Texas Tech dudes in here.
Well, and the one name to watch is the kid Micah Peavy, who was the top recruit.
Was he the shooter?
Yeah, he was from Duncanville.
Just a freshman, right?
Yeah, Coach Peavy actually coached at Aikens before he went to Duncanville. But,
okay.
Yeah, Peavy, he's around 6'7". He was kind of more of a hustle guy for Texas Tech this year, but again, I think he's going to be a stud when it's all said and done.
What about
also
the other kids? Silva? Is he still in the...
Santos Silva?
He's staying.
Is
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's staying at Tech.
Yeah, one of the reasons they promoted Mark Andrews to the top is that the ability to keep some consistency and keep some
sense
of these guys. And I don't know if, you know...
He's a glue guy, that kid, right?
Yeah, and we'll see for Texas Tech. I mean, the promotion from within... I mean, it sounds good in short term, but does it work for the long term for them? Because the thing about, you know, him, he's 64 years old. He's never been a head coach before. He doesn't have that dynamic personality like Chris Beard does. But, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. He was a big part of Chris Beard's defensive scheme at Texas Tech, and he takes over. And he's going to be able to keep some of these guys in place and maybe some of the recruiting class for them. But they've already lost this one. There are three other names, including Micah Peavy in the transfer portal from Texas Tech. And a lot of thought that they're going to follow Chris Beard and join this spot. And as we talked about last hour, and we'll continue to talk about, the question becomes, to me, the biggest question for Texas basketball right now is Greg Brown. What is Greg Brown going to do? Would he consider coming back for another year, play a second year, and then off to the NBA? His value has certainly dropped. I saw the mock draft that had him going 29th overall in the first round, which is, you know, fringe first, second round type player. Or, you know, does he get together with his family and think, you know what, another year of maturity, another year of development is probably better than moving on. And yeah, you're going to get paid, but at the same time, you're playing with a bunch of grown men, and are you ready for that?
I mean, is his potential head and shoulders above what we saw from him this season of a young kid coming out of high school playing at a different level? And not so much at a different level, but not mature enough. Being a good kid, being a good guy, all these different things. He had his episode, but is it just that is the sky the limit? Can he be a great jump shooter in the NBA, or can he just be one of those athletic guys? Or will he get better as a, well, once again, when we talk about it, I watched who is it from the Clippers that we always talk about?
Paul George, Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. I've always talked about, man, that guy couldn't handle the rock. Then all of a sudden, that guy had great handles. I mean, you can mature, and those things happen to you.
Yeah, 1,000%. Like, you never know who a guy's trainer is going to be. You never know what team he's going to be on you know, just the organization that he's going to be in. Obviously, with Kawhi, when you go to the Spurs, you're probably going to get developed more than a lot of other players would, whoever they're drafted by. So, with Greg, I mean, obviously he has to see what his options are. If he comes back, I think that would be his best option, especially with Chris Beard being here, who can develop him. Because this past year, we never saw a real game from Greg Brown.
No, because I don't know what is it that he does a lot of things, and he's a really super athlete, but I don't know. I can't pinpoint what he does best. And that, to go to the NBA and think you're going to be, you know, a lottery pick guy, they want to know something. They just don't want to know that you can do this. They want to know something about you, and there wasn't much about him, I didn't believe.
And think about it. Kai Jones, right? He came back for a second year. I don't know that he even had an option, but Kai Jones played 2 years of college. Well, last year at this time, no one was talking about Kai Jones as a lottery pick.
No.
Last year at this time, people were talking about Greg Brown as a one-and-done lottery pick, and he's fallen on that. Can he come back, play another year like Kai Jones did, put himself back into that conversation, have a good year? You know, he grew up, you know, his parents are both Longhorns. His dad played football at Texas. Come back and try to do something at the University of Texas, or you go off and become a professional. That's a decision he has to make. He did not look like a player or a young person just by the naked eye who's ready to handle being a professional basketball player right now.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong, but he just didn't.
No.
The way he handled situations, his maturity level, his talent level, because it was said a lot that, you know, which was commendable, that Greg Brown stayed at Vandergriff, right, and wanted to play with his buddies and with his team.
To those other places.
Yeah, a lot of those top players go off to prep schools and play at a higher level of competition and get that you know, step on people. He didn't do that, and I think it showed this year as far as his overall game, his development. He was a little bit overmatched, but he also had some great games. Let's not forget, Greg Brown had some games where he put up some nice numbers and did a lot of nice things. So, I mean, there's a lot to work with there if Chris Beard could talk him back as he builds his first roster.
I just think
roster.
Chris Beard would be just perfect for that guy.
Agreed.
I mean, he would harden him up a little bit and let him understand, but also it would benefit the Texas basketball team. You know, your job isn't to make guys ready for the NBA. Those guys can make themselves. As Zay said, go get your trainer and do all that stuff if you got that kind of ability. Chris Beard's job is to win games at Texas. And if you can do both, make a young man a better NBA player and win games, there's your setup right there.
Yeah. Well, just a little behind the curtain, I requested a conversation. Could we get Chris Beard on the show, and I was told that he can't do it this week because he's spending this entire week out of the office, and he's going and meeting with the current players and their families face-to-face to try to get to know them and as he builds his roster. So, you know, he's not just doing this on Zoom or on phone. He's going wherever he needs to go to meet with the players that are currently on the roster, their families, get to know them and sell his, you know, present his vision for where the program
smart.
Is going.
That's smart.
And hopefully we can get Chris. I mean, I'm assuming there'll be a press conference with Chris Beard again in the coming days, maybe even next week, to announce the hiring of this new coaching staff. And we'll hear, you know, defined roles of who's in what place. Because you only have three, you can only have three coaches, assistant coaches, who go out and recruit on the road. And we've heard the names of like five different people, right? Chris Ogden and Rodney Terry and Jarence Howard. And then the development coach that is coming with him from Texas Tech. Also, Yurik Malizhi's coming as well. So you got five names. There's only three spots. How do they define the roles on that first coaching staff for Chris Beard? We'll have to get some clarity on that, I would guess, next week. But this week, Chris Beard is spending getting to know his roster, getting to know the families of the current team, and see where this thing can go. And Greg Brown will be a big factor.
And I just had an episode during our last break.
Episodes are never good.
Zay overheard my episode. I was standing right there. He's like shaking his head now. I don't blame him. You can see him on Twitch and see him shaking his head, which he should be. I call my daughter up, you know, my oldest daughter, my wonderful Veronica, in Jacksonville, and I said happy birthday to her today. And even Zay looked at me when I said happy birthday. He said, wasn't her birthday last week? I'm like, and as Veronica says, dude, my birthday was last week. You sent me a text on my birthday and said happy birthday along with the driver. And so I got confused again, and it happens to me. And the reason it happens is, I'm the oldest in the family, the oldest of eight. I don't know when anybody's birthday is in my family. I know there's got to be people out there like me that do a bad job of birthdays, like with your family, like knowing when your brother or your sister's birthday. I had eight of them. There were seven others. And so my other daughter's birthday is on the 2nd. My son's birthday is on the 7th
of April.
Yeah, so that's 2 and 7 = 9.
And then Jordan's birthday is today?
Nope. Jordan's birthday is the 9th of next month.
Oh, May 9th.
May 9th. But I called Veronica and said, hey, happy birthday, because I thought her birthday's on the 9th. She goes, wrong count again, dude. You already said happy birthday to me. She goes, hey, it's great to have two birthdays, Zay. And then what did she say, Zay? That just wasn't all that cool.
She blamed you getting COVID, so your mind's all fuzzy up there.
I think he's just getting old, Pops.
Help, I'm falling and
hey.
I can't get up.
No, I mean,
she said two birthdays. Hey, that's pretty good in the same week.
But didn't you send her like a driver for her birthday? And then you still called her to say happy birthday today?
Well, no, here's the deal. I rushed to get the driver out because I thought her birthday was on the 9th. Today, I wanted her to get the driver before her birthday on the 9th. So she got the driver last week and she said, thank you. Thanks for the driver, Dad. That's awesome.
Well,
but she didn't say it arrived on her birthday, which is the 2nd.
But it did. So she thought Dad's right on time.
Yes.
What do you know? Now you just outed yourself that you really didn't know when her birthday was. That's great. No, I don't have that. I know when my kid's birthday is.
No, no. Your
and
kid,
my brother's.
Do you know your brother? You know.
My older brother, January 29th. My younger brother is September 20th. My younger sister is October 23rd. And I know my kids. The only one I struggle with, which is weird, is my wife, because she is.
What?
Well, it's because she's August 30th.
Uh-oh.
No, because my parents' anniversary is my parents got married.
You had COVID, too.
No. My parents got married the day before my wife was born, like the exact day. So I get my parents' anniversary and my wife's birthday confused. It's August the 30th or 29th.
My wife's is good because my wife's birthday is the same day as my dog's birthday.
But yes, I mean, I can remember my kids' birthdays.
Okay.
You,
I can't do my brothers and sisters. I can't. They always send me something, say, don't forget, such and such birthday is coming up next week.
I know.
I have no clue.
Yours is June 28th.
Keep on going.
8th.
One more day.
9th. 29th.
Yes, 29th.
Because my oldest son's is June 27th.
Right.
My daughter's is June 10th. So your birthday comes right after my oldest son.
And I don't want to put that up on the refrigerator because that looks too goofy.
You can write it down. All right, we come back.
Put it in your phone.
Isaiah Collier and his neck roll will lead us through the hot or not topics of your morning.
Linebacker.
Also, we'll reset the top stories. Round 2 underway at Augusta National. Everybody chasing Justin Rose. Get you the very latest. We're live. We're local. We're digital on the Horn app, and we're certainly digital on our Twitch channel at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
No regrets on a Friday. Hope you don't regret your weekend. It's going to be a good one. Weather looks great. Masters is going on. Texas baseball over at the Dish with Kansas State in town. Longhorns have won 5 in a row. 6:30 tonight is game one. And as we said, coming up after the top of the hour headlines, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Texas Rangers play tonight in Arlington against the San Diego Padres. If you'd like to be there, we'll get you details on how you can win those tickets here coming up. Isaiah Collier is our producer, wearing the neck roll, leading us through the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through the show. Zay, what do you have?
Thanks, fellas. The great Jay-Z once said, "Nobody wins when the family feuds." Hall of Famer, hot or notter, Aaron Rodgers is now engaged to Shailene Woodley, who we know is one of the stars on the show Big Little Liars. Well, his ex, Danica Patrick, has released some more information on why they broke up, which a lot of Danica's people says it goes back to when she was trying to rekindle the relationship with Aaron Rodgers and his brother and family. If y'all don't remember, Aaron Rodgers' brother, Jordan Rodgers, went on The Bachelor, still with JoJo. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I know. And
you still have that beef. Show.
Yeah, I love the show. Watch it, love it. Get points with my fiance. Yeah, it's great. Everybody wins.
Everybody gets points. Yeah, man.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, she just wanted them to get back together. She loves family. She's a family person. Danica is. And obviously, Aaron wasn't with it, and they're not together anymore.
Hold on. So she worked to try to bring the family back together.
Yes.
She got in family business.
She got involved. Stay in your lane, Buck.
Yeah, she got in family business. Get out of family business. That's not for you. So you get married, then you can get in family business. But if you're not married to that member, you need to stay on out that business.
Yeah, once you're married, you're part of it.
Yeah, you can get in then.
You're in.
Because they generally tell you to shut up because they'll still say you're not in the family. You know what I'm saying, Zay? They'll let you still know that even though you're married to that person, you're not really in the family. You know what I'm saying?
I've gotten hints of, Zay, you're still not in the family, bro. So there's...
Yeah.
You know, it's very passive-aggressive, but I feel it.
You can feel that. Yeah.
I can feel it.
I understand that for Danica.
Yeah. Well, you know, she tried to reconcile things and bring it back together. And
no, leave it alone.
She doesn't know it all.
Just,
right?
get in your car and drive.
Does she still drive?
And do your makeup. No, she's been on, what's that guy, Bear Grill or whatever his name is?
Bear Grylls.
Bear Grylls, the guy who does all this weird stuff. She's doing some acrobatic stuff with him and crazy stuff with him, which I've seen commercials for that, which would never happen up in here.
I do like that show.
You do?
The Bear Grylls show?
Yeah. By the way,
survival show?
Yeah. Thank you to, I need to give a buck on to Wayne Miller and Louis Miller Barbecue, which will be doing the Mullet Open Dinner again.
Oh, how is Wayne-o?
Wayne is doing fabulous, man. And
Wayne's a great president. He's been the ambassador of our Horn Bash Barbecue Cook-Off the last several
years.
They
didn't have a great year. They survived it last year. But he's going to feed 175 people on June 11th, just out of the goodness of their heart. Thank you so very much again, Wayne. You're the best.
Love Wayne Miller and Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pandemic is moving past us. Go out there and see those guys. Take care of
Wayne.
Please
do.
And his team. Take care of Isaiah. By the way, Aaron Rodgers is a weird dude. Can we just say that? Aaron Rodgers, weird guy?
Yes.
Weird guy. Have you seen him hosting Jeopardy? It's kind of a weird... It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, he's strange.
But he's very good at
playing quarterback. Real smart guy, too.
In the National Football League.
He tells you he's a smart guy.
Remember when he popped off about Mac Brown back in the day when he was a Cal Golden Bear?
People have hated him ever since around here.
Yeah. You got in a little bit of a war of words with the Texas head coach back in 2004 when Texas got to go to the Rose Bowl, not Cal. And
by the way,
wasn't happy about it.
Before I got married, I never got into my wife's family. No. I said no because, first of all, I want to be shot, but.
Stay out. Stay out if you know it's for your own good. We'll be back. Get those Rangers tickets. Also, reset the headlines. Second round underway at the Masters.